It is 6 o'clock. We have been informed that our chair, Greg Ignofo, has had a family emergency and is very suddenly unable to attend. And so there is a quorum, and it would be appropriate at this time for the village administrator, Matt Walsh, to call the roll.
Okay, go. Member DeGroff?
Present.
Member Lasuzzo? Chairman Ignofo?
Okay, so there is a quorum because Mr. Ignofo is not here and he is the chair. The most appropriate thing to do now is to decide who will act as the chair for this meeting and in what's before the commission. It's tradition for the senior member that's left to chair. That would be Rebecca.
That is fine by me.
Okay. Do you make a motion?
I will make a motion as a pro tem chair for Rebecca DeGroff.
Do you second that?
I second it.
Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Okay. So there we are. The meeting is yours.
Excellent. Second item on our agenda is citizen comments. Do we have any citizen comments today?
Grab the sign-in sheet.
Our first comment is going to be from James Ford.
Hello, I'm James Ford. I thought there was going to be discussion first before comments, but I only have one comment, and that is that members of the board who have a serious conflict of interest and do not recuse themselves, I just find that abominable. That's my comment.
Thank you. Next up, we have Mark Hostie.
Hi, I spoke at the original hearing, and I just want to make something clear. It was somebody tried to make a point that this was personal, an attack on the individuals who are members of the review board. My comments and my requests to this board are about the process, not about the people. I very much like the people on the review board, and it's not a personal attack. What I would like is if this board could review the situation and make sure that that doesn't happen again, that people are put in the position to make what could be considered an unethical decision. And you guys have the ability to make the rules going forward. I believe the tennis club has withdrawn their application at this point, so it's somewhat moot. But I think what you guys decide today can make a decision for the long term. So when another decision comes up and there are people who have one foot on both sides of the fence, that they are forced to recuse themselves, I think the village attorney can make a decision and recommendations on that. I think the young lady who made the recommendations to the review board may have been inaccurate, but I don't think she had the proper legal statement when she said they could just make their own choice. I think it's up to you guys to set the precedent going forward. So if the tennis club were to reapply or somebody else who had a foot on each side of the fence, that doesn't happen again. If you guys could set those rules as a result of this evening with or without the tennis club's application. So thank you. And I wish you would do the right thing. And I assume you will.
Thank you. We're going to move on to the third item on the agenda, which is reviewing and voting to approve the meeting minutes from December 2nd, 2025. Have you had a chance to review those minutes?
I have. I think there's one correction that 10:27 p.m. is supposed to be 10:27 a.m., but other than that, I'd make a motion to approve.
Second? All in favor? Aye. All right. Moving on to new business. Tonight we have this public hearing to review Mr. Harding's ethics complaint. And for process tonight, what we are going to do is have Mr. Harding can present first, and then we will hear from Mr. Yanaki, and then Ms. McCool, and then our attorney has something to add. So I think we'll go in that order. So Mr. Harding, you're up.
Thank you. I'm going to be brief. So thank you for your consideration of this matter. It's important to the village. There's a lot of support in the village for the ethics ordinance, and it's great that the ethics ordinance was written, put into law, and that we have an ethics commission to sort through things like this. So my concern with the complaint is not lighting. It's about the process and the structure of the board that reviews this as it applies in the decision-making as it applies to the ethics ordinance. It's important that the ethics ordinance be followed as written, not some interpretation that's not written, because citizens of River Forest, they need clarity. If they review the ethics ordinance, which people have done, what matters is how is it written, not what is some other precedent that nobody has any knowledge of or control over. The whole thing's about fairness and consistency that treats the residents of River Forest in a fair and equitable manner. So basically, it boils down to how do we ensure that decisions affecting residential areas reflect balanced representation? The representation on that board is not balanced. You had four people involved in this for 14 months that ignored the ethics ordinance. And we're not passing judgment on people. We just would like to get this corrected, so that when this comes up again, that we don't find ourselves in this trick bag and we don't try and rationalize some convoluted process that's not fair to the citizens of River Forest. So it's about the process, and that's my concern with the complaint that I filed. So thank you.
Do you have any questions for Mr. Harding? I don't either. Thank you. Next, Mr. Yanaki. And let me start by prefacing that we do have the documents that you sent in.
Yep.
We each have copies of those.
Thank you. Good evening. My name is Elias Yanaki. I'd like to present a number of documents tonight that will show clearly and decisively that the complaint should be quickly dismissed tonight. I'll go over first the filed complaint line by line and show how inaccurate it is. Then I'll go over written documentation communications between the village and myself, showing how I followed every direction given to me by the village and the village attorney. It shows that nothing was knowingly or intentionally not followed. I'll also go through a timeline of events of the RFTC application. Prior to those two steps, I'd like to note a few things. I've been volunteering with the village since around 2001, give or take. I believe it's about 2021 when I've been asked to join both the Development Review Board and the Planning Commission. I've been volunteering leadership roles with River Forest Youth Soccer since around most recently as assistant commissioner. I've been volunteering as a teacher at a local high school teaching financial literacy to students. I'm also volunteering at that same high school where I created a mentorship program for an incubator program where students create businesses from scratch and present it to a panel of experts. I'm also active with my church, volunteering in many roles, and have been their financial secretary since 2013. I also volunteer as a pro bono consultant with the Booth Alumni Nonprofit Consultants. where we help local nonprofits with my peers from the University of Chicago.
Most recently,
the River Forest Tennis Club in the summer of 2022. Back to my time with the village. I'm hearing feedback. Is it fine? As long as you guys can hear it.
Thank you.
Good. Thank you, Matt. Back to my time with the village. When I was asked to join both the DRB and the Planning Commission, I was honored, as I feel each of us are obligated to give back to our community. I, however, and to the best of my knowledge, was never provided any formal training on becoming a member of either group after I've been asked to join. And I've never previously had the opportunity to serve on a municipal board prior to this. I believe one of the first times I saw documentation or direction was when Matt Walsh sent the updated ethics code in mid-2025. As I go through the actual complaint, I would like to highlight that no RFTC member has any economic or ownership interest in the organization. When I complete the review of these two documents, I ask you to dismiss the complaint tonight and find that I did not commit any violations. I'm represented here tonight by Caitlin Culbertson from Elrod Friedman and Mike Leonard from Leonard Trial Lawyers. The first document is the summary of the actual complaint. I'm going to go through the summary first and then line by line, the highlights. Yellow text is the complaints text, and red text is my responses. First, the summary. I have fully disclosed my involvement with RFTC and fully recused myself from the DRB process regarding this application. So by definition, a conflict of interest does not exist. Regarding certain of the other DRB members, their involvement with the RFTC has also been disclosed, but on the advice of the village's attorney, as communicated by Matt Walsh, they were not advised to recuse themselves from the process. The DRB is a volunteer-based board that only exists to make non-binding recommendations. Although I and certain members of the DRB are RFTC members, we do not have an economic or ownership interest in RFTC. RFTC is an Illinois not-for-profit corporation. Its membership is rules-based, and members do not have any economic or ownership interest in the club. Moreover, the other DRB 3 members are senior members, not active members, which means they do not have any voting rights. Every step of the application was completed at the direction of the village and the village attorney, and nothing was knowingly or intentionally not followed. Now going to the actual complaint. Point one, he has participated in board deliberations. This is referencing me. In board deliberations on this matter and continues to do so. It's a blatant conflict of interest. This is not true. I have not participated in any deliberations. I have always been recused. Next point, in the public hearing, Elias represented the tennis club and gave a 30-minute presentation as a sole representative of the RFTC. That's inaccurate. I was not the sole representative. Our application lists Sandy Graves and Dan Baker, along with a law firm, an architecture firm, an engineering firm, and a lighting vendor. Next point, RFTC is a private organization owned by the members. Those members are part owners. That's inaccurate. RFTC is an Illinois not-for-profit corporation. Membership is rules-based, and members do not have any economic or financial or ownership interest in the club. Moreover, the other DRB members are senior members, not active members, which means they do not have any voting rights. Next point, RFTC members on the DRB, including Elias, have a financial conflict of interest. I won't repeat myself, but I will say regardless, I recuse myself from the very beginning of the application. Next point, paragraph 6C states that they are not permitted to participate in the deliberations and voting. They have been doing so in violation of the ethics ordinance. The application by the RFTC has multiple misstatements and also contains misleading information. That's inaccurate. I have not been part of any deliberations or voting as I have been recused. The other...
Interrupt you. Yeah. Sorry. Please. Are you done with your thought on that?
No, but please.
Go ahead.
No, please.
The following allegations were dismissed at the last hearing, so this is the last allegation to address.
Which one? Sorry. The one that I'm talking to right now?
Yes.
6C? Okay.
Yes.
Well, I haven't slept for 30 days since I got this, and I wasn't notified until a couple days ago that the only thing has been recused was that piece or dismissed. So I'm going to go through my entire analysis.
Okay.
The other three DRB members are following the direction of the village attorney as sent by Matt Walsh. Moreover, RFDC has previously applied for permits through the DRB multiple times, including as recently as 2022. Neither the village nor the neighbors had any objections then. Next point, RFDC claimed the lighting levels meet illuminating engineer society standards. They do not, according to the lighting engineer present. That's inaccurate. All data shown in the presentation was taken directly from the USTA, which is the United States Tennis Association, and the IES, Illuminating Engineering Society. Next point, VRF ordinances. I'm reading the entire complaint, but next point, VRF ordinances require that the application and the presentation be truthful and accurate. The application is not, and the presentation was not. Again, inaccurate. Every word in the application and the presentation has been truthful and accurate. Next point, to illustrate the project, they included a photograph of tennis courts with six luminaires. The lighting design includes 48 luminaires, eight times as many. The application and presentation accurately and in detail in multiple pages and sections show exactly what we're asking for. Next point, RFDC left that grossly inaccurate photograph up on the screen for 90 minutes. I don't know what he's referring to. If this is in reference to page 59 of the presentation, I was asked by Assistant Village Administrator Jessica Spencer to turn to that page after I was done speaking. She said one of the neighbors asked to have it up. Next point, knowing that the DRB was stacked with tennis club members, they applied for planning development approval. That's not true. We applied since the lighting technology has been advanced over the last few years so that it would decrease light spillage in respect of the neighbors. Next point, if village ordinances were followed, the RFDC lighting variance would request would be reviewed by the Zoning Board of Appeals or a village entity to review variance requests to the building code. It's clearly not a planned development issued as defined by village ordinance. That's incorrect. We apply to the DRB as directed by the village. Next point. Right now, the application is not truthful and is riddled with critical errors. Every single word in the application, the presentation has been truthful and accurate. Now we move to the timeline and the documentation showing nothing inaccurate was knowingly done. Ethics is critically important and something I've valued my day-to-day life around. I appreciate the topic being brought up and discussed, and it's for the benefit of all residents. Throughout the RFTC application to the DRB, everything I've done was based on the recommendations and guidance of Village President Kathy Aducey, Village Administrator Matt Walsh, Assistant Village Administrator Jessica Spencer, alongside the direction of Village Attorneys Ann and Lance Molina. Ann is a last name I can't pronounce, I'm sorry, but Ann S. and Lance Molina. Each one of these individuals has done a terrific job helping me with during this nearly two-year process. Each of them has been responsive to my countless questions. Each of them has provided me with sound advice. I'm very appreciative of these wonderful individuals. Our village is very lucky to have them in their roles. As a first-time applicant, I relied heavily on the advice and direction. And given my position on the DRB, I'm acutely sensitive to any appearance of bias, which is why I immediately recuse myself from any vote on the DRB related to the application. I've organized the below response in two sections. Section one talks about the timeline of the application. It shows two things. First, I've already presented to both the Village Board of Trustees and the Development Review Board a year prior to the November 2025 DRB meeting. Both meetings had village staff present. Both meetings had village attorney present. At neither meeting was it brought up that someone else needs to present. The second piece still shows that the village asked me to present in the November 6, 2025 DRB meeting. The second section talks about copies of emails showing the following. First, the village asking me to present to the DRB. Second, the confirmation from me to the village that I was the one who was presenting. Third, the direction from the village attorney around DRB members not needing to recuse themselves. And fourth, the very first time the village suggested someone else present, which was November 19th, 2025, 2 weeks after the November 6th, 2025 DRB meeting. Section 1, application timing. Here's the timing of the application showing that I've already presented to both the Village Board of Trustees and the Development Review Board prior to the November 2025 DRB meeting, with both meetings having village staff and village attorneys present, and that neither meeting was brought up that someone else needs to present. October 14th, 2024. Introduction to the Village Board. I was the one who presented to the Village Board of Trustees. The village attorney is present in these meetings, yet did not mention any direction against me presenting. In this introductory meeting, I relayed that I would be recusing myself. November 7th, 2024, pre-filing conference with the DRB. I was the one who presented to the DRB. The village attorney is present in these meetings, yet did not mention any direction against me presenting. In this introductory meeting, I formally recused myself. March 12th, 2025, the neighbor meeting. I presented the deck and coordinated the neighborhood feedback. Prior to and after this meeting, I met individually with neighbors to hear and incorporate their suggestions. July 29th, 2025, technical review meeting. I was a representative for the application with the staff in various village departments. This meeting was discussed requirements for the upcoming November 6, 2025 DRB meeting. No one from the village said anything about me not being able to present. November 6, 2025, the public hearing with the DRB. I was the one who presented. The village asked me in an email to present in that meeting. Section 2, the email communications. I'd like to present 5 emails in chronological order and relay the importance of each. Email 1 dated July 18, 2025. This is Assistant Village Administrator Jessica Spencer asking me to present to the DRB on August 21st, 2025, which ended up being November 6, 2025. Email 2 is dated September 25th, 2025. This is when I emailed Matt Walsh and Jessica Spencer to confirm that I'm presenting and ask for meeting not to be held on November 6th, as it was the start of a 4-day holiday weekend and some of the neighbors who could have been opposed would have been out of town. I was asking to move the meeting to another weekend. Email 3, October 21st, 2025. The DRB ethics code guidance from the village and the village attorney that notes RFTC members do not need to recuse themselves unless they feel they cannot be impartial. And it directly mentions that a project lead on the DRB should recuse himself, but does not mention any direction or requirement about that member not being able to present. The village ethics code guidance came out in October 2025. I started this application in 2024. I found myself as an example in the new code of ethics, which is something cool to tell my kids, but maybe later on. In that example, I was listed, and that example should have said, hey, by the way, that person shouldn't present. And it didn't. Points of clarity there. The RFTC, we talked about the not-for-profit with no interest. RFTC had multiple previous applications, again in front of the DRB, as recent as 2022, and neither the village nor the neighbors objected then. Finally, a very important point, an assumption that RFTC membership automatically creates bias for purposes of voting on a proposal involving RFTC is incorrect. There are current RFTC members who do not agree with the plan, who have suggested alternatives, and who have publicly taken opposition stances even during the November 25th meeting. Thus, an assumption of bias cannot exist. The ethical rules place the burden of determining bias on each individual member. And if in good faith they believe they could render a non-biased opinion and therefore did not recuse themselves, they therefore followed the ethical rules. Email 4. October 27th, 2025, the direction from Village President Kathy Adusi, confirming that the DRB members do not need to recuse themselves if there's no bias, and no mention of any guidance that I should not present. In fact, in a meeting with President Adusi, she guided me on my ask, because she was very helpful, she guided me on how to act during the November 6, 2025 DRB meeting, including I should start the meeting sitting at the dais as a DRB member, since there will be prior business to discuss, such as approving prior meeting notes. Then I should move off the dais. Then I should go to the podium to present. Until given this advice, I was not planning on sitting on the dais at all, but in the audience until I was called to present. Finally, email 5, dated November 19th, 2025. Village Administrator Matt Walsh, for the first time, suggesting we should have someone else other than me present in the upcoming December 4th DRB meeting, which didn't end up happening because we pulled the application. Not only was this the very first time that this was brought up, but also he clearly states this is only a suggestion and not a requirement. He also clearly says the decision is up to us as the applicant. If me presenting was against ethical code, he should have related in that specific email. Also, this email was sent 2 weeks after the November 6, 2025 DRB public hearing. Again, I ask you to dismiss this complaint tonight and find that I did not commit any violations. I appreciate you all being here tonight. Thank you for listening.
Do you have any questions? I believe. I have one question for you here. In the November 5th, 2025 meeting, Jessica Spencer stated that she received 5 public comments before the meeting, which she shared with the DRB. Did you receive those 5 comments?
I don't know specific emails, but usually when she sends out an email, I receive the comments. I think she sends it to all of the DRB. I can't speak specifically, but I think I did.
Okay. Do other applicants, if you know, do other applicants receive public comments in advance of their presentations?
This is my very first time doing this. I don't know.
How about other applicants? Is this the first application you've had on the DRB since you've joined it?
No.
So other applicants, if there's public comments about their application, would they receive those before they present?
That's a question for Matt Walsh or Jessica Spencer. I don't know the communications that they do. It's a good question. I just don't know the answer.
I can speak to that if you want.
Yes.
So typically, if there are public comments received in advance of a public hearing, they would be incorporated into the packet for that meeting. And that's a matter of public record. In that specific case, there were correspondence received after the packet was distributed and shared directly with the Development Review Board. Okay, so that is a typical process to share with the Development Review Board and make public as possible.
Including with the applicant.
It's publicly available as part of the packet, so the applicant can view it. So yes, that's usually shared with the applicant.
That's all the questions I have right now.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm Jane McColl. And as Elias mentioned, he has a lot of volunteer activities in the village, and so do I. I can make a list, but I'll keep this brief. River Forest Youth Soccer Board, Infant Welfare Board, also very involved in my church. And like Elias, I was shocked, actually, to get this letter in the mail. And I was forewarned I was getting an email. But when Ann Skrodsky, the village attorney who was present at the night of our meeting, asked if I could be impartial, I said, yes, I've lived here practically my whole life. And I mean, starting in, I won't say how old I am, but I did live in Evanston for a short while, Springfield a little bit, but I've lived here pretty much my whole life. My kids all went to school here. I went to school here. And so I really felt that I could be objective. And I was surprised I wasn't asked to recuse myself as a tennis club member, even if I'm a senior member and I don't have any voting privileges. However, so when I got this letter, I was truly surprised. But I agree that this process has to be changed because people shouldn't get letters like this after they've been told by the village attorney representative that what we were doing was appropriate. So that has to change because otherwise you are not going to get people in River Forest to volunteer. And I have to tell you, when my DRB term ends in April, I'm done. I'm really disappointed in the way this has been played out. So I'm sorry if there was any appearance of impropriety, but there shouldn't be because we were asked by the lawyer if we felt we could, and we said we would. Because, you know, we make up the quorum. If you think about how many, there's 7 DRB members and 4 are River Forest Tennis Club members. And often River Forest Tennis Club members happen to be volunteering in the community. That's not going to change. So I'm hoping that the process can change. I'm hoping you can decide this quickly because as a resident, it is very upsetting. So thank you.
Thank you. Turning now to Lance.
Yes. So the issue, the primary issue here, I mean, the one that is the most controversial, I guess, is Elias's. It's a little, because he presented, it's unique. The real black letter situation by simple membership in a nonprofit organization that's bringing a petition before the village is very, very clear. And part of the reason this is you need to understand, for those of you who know the corporate world, there's a huge difference between a control board, a control group member that directs the actions of a corporation, and employment for the corporation. A huge difference. And that same holds true when you're dealing with a club like this. And so the members have no inherent conflict structurally. The reason that being on the board of directors would has nothing to do with whether that person would be fair or not. As a matter of fact, the control group person may have been outvoted and may have voted against the petition that was brought. It's a structural conflict because by being part of the control group, you are actually asking the village for something. And then if you sit on that board, you're receiving that request directly. You're a petitioner and the judge. But if you're not part of the control group and you're simply a member, there is no such automatic conflict. Now, just like any other petition that's before the board, if there's a variation request and somebody lives on the block, that individual, other neighbors may feel, has a conflict. But the law is that if you're asked, you search your conscience. And if you can judge under the rules, even if you happen to live on that block, you are free to participate. And in fact, without a clear conflict, you have a duty to participate and a duty to vote. So to my way of thinking, and the recommendation I've given for well over 30 years, is membership does not create a per se common law conflict. It can be a conflict if you're so aware of the situation that you've already developed an opinion and you feel like you can't be fair because you've already got an opinion and the hearing is supposed to be based on the evidence. So that's the test. And so in my opinion, Ann Skrodsky, and full disclosure, she's with our firm, it's the same thing. Her questioning, just pointing out that the people who happen to be members and also on the DRB, if they can be impartial and apply the rules, they are free to participate and in fact should participate. So that's that. I don't know about, I mean, Matt talked to me about Elias's situation, and it's very nuanced, because as a homeowner, for example, if you have a zoning petition, you can bring that petition. If you happen to be an elected official, you'll need to recuse yourself, but you're not forced to hire an attorney. You could present if you recuse yourself. My understanding was that when it got to the public hearing, someone other than Elias was going to present, and that didn't happen. I don't know exactly what happened, why that happened. But I mean, I think it's always better to have, when you're presenting to the group, normally when you recuse yourself and you're not participating, you do not engage. You sort of leave the dais and you can observe, but you know, that's normally you don't participate. But of course, technically he did recuse himself, and obviously he had previous doings, you know, before the board as a preliminary matter on this, and wasn't told when it got further not to. And I don't know, Matt may know more about exactly what was said. Apparently there's some emails. The reason I never said that it would be Elias shouldn't present is I told Matt, I thought it would be better if he didn't. But you know, that I'm not sure what happened there, but the law on membership is very, very clear. And I know there were some questions about the code, and can the ethics code be changed to make these kinds of situations conflicts? That's problematic, in my opinion, because as a non-home rule community, you're basically starting to disqualify people from voting, even if they meet technically the qualifications of, I can be fair, I can apply the rules, I've taken the oath to be part of this body. And to disqualify them under a local rule when the common law does not, I think would be problematic, because you're sort of disenfranchising people in a certain respect. But
so I have a question for you. The ethics ordinance is the law here in River Forest, correct?
Correct.
And this version of the law has been here since at least July 14th, 2025. Yes?
Correct.
At the November 6, 2025 meeting, there is no reference to the ethics ordinance in the advice given to the DRB members. Why is that?
Because the ethics ordinance primarily makes a local ordinance applicable and creates this body to deal with allegations of the various kinds of ethical violations that can occur. Some of those are already criminal if they're financial in nature. Some of them are common law. And so they're less a substantive body of rules than they are a procedure and a potential individual penalty under local law for people who violate those rules.
So when you look at section 123-5, subsection 6, C6, you don't think that's substantive? A substantive, this is a law, but this isn't substantive.
Well, maybe the section that
here's C6. I believe it's, he'll begin to read it. I think it's the right one. And then 9 as well.
Okay. I'm looking at 6.
And then 9 as well.
Okay. Yeah, this was the appearance. 9 is relevant, and 9 does go a bit beyond what the common law would require. 6, in my opinion, just kind of summarizes what those rules are about having an interest.
6 summarizes the common law, or it goes beyond the common law because it refers to a personal relationship which may create a conflict of interest or which give the appearance of a conflict of interest. So my question ultimately is, I don't understand why your advice doesn't include this law and this is substantive, to volunteers who are sitting on boards who they're not lawyers. They read this and they sign for it, but they don't understand to the same degree as lawyers who wrote this or lawyers who interpret it. And so I don't understand why these subsections are not included in your advice to these board members.
Well, the presentation issue with Elias, I didn't think he was presenting on November 6th. So I never put that in my guidance to Matt. I just simply said the other issue about the membership is perfectly appropriate under our code, as long as those individuals disclose that membership and they can be fair.
But the advice given to the board on November 6th referred to mere membership in the club will not present a conflict that will prevent you from voting or participating.
That's correct.
My interpretation of subsection C, subsection 6, is different, and it is intended to be broader than the common law because River Forest wants to be a leader in ethics, and that's the whole point of having an ethics ordinance. Not all villages have that. So
I don't think it goes beyond, I don't think it could go beyond the common law to create a bunch of situations where you're going to bar people from participating, even if they can be fair, because of a membership.
So this law can't go beyond common law?
It can in certain respects, but not when it comes to automatic disqualification, in my opinion. And the reason is because at the DRB level, it's a little harder to see. For the elected officials, if you're going to disqualify people from voting because they're a member of a club, then the people who voted for that individual isn't getting someone who can use their elected position to use their best judgment to vote. You're just automatically going to disqualify them because, and as was pointed out here, there are lots of people volunteer, they're parts of lots of organizations, and these cross relationships are going to keep coming up. And so it's a problem to disqualify people automatically just based on membership.
So it's not automatic. There is still a self-assessment that needs to occur.
Yes.
But it is broader than the advice they were given on November 6th. And to your point, if we had an Elks Lodge here in River Forest and we had members Elks sitting on the GRB and the Elks Lodge submits a request for a permit, it smells bad to have those Elks voting on the permit for their lodge. That just, it inherently doesn't seem right. It may be legally under the common law as you've described it, perfectly legal, but I think the purpose of the ethics ordinance is to say we don't want things that smell bad because we like our neighborhood, we like everybody getting along with each other, and why would we put ourselves in those positions where it looks bad?
I had the same conclusion because I think the guidance that you provided was both from a common law perspective and an Illinois statutory law, what happened was fine. However, our ethics has the wording is, which give the appearance of a conflict of interest. And I think the common person would suggest that there's an appearance of conflict there. And I'm not saying, and by the way, I think we both, I don't want to speak for you, but we appreciate volunteerism and your volunteer work and your volunteer work. I'm sure a lot of people in this room have volunteered and you're going to have these conflicts, but we're asked as an ethics committee to review this information. So we're not saying you did anything wrong by doing this. We're trying to go through this process so our community can understand where these lines are drawn. So that's what we're trying to do. So again, we're not saying you're a bad citizen and you're a bad volunteer and you did something wrong. We're just trying to understand. And I think this goes to the grayness of our ethics. Is our ethics rules going to go above and beyond Illinois and common law? And as a community, do we want that or not?
So,
and if I would say, I think if you ask that question, you're on the DRB and you're part of the River Forest and you're going to present, I think it's I would probably recuse myself. That doesn't mean that I think that's right or wrong, or I'm going to impose that on you. But I think that's where this ethics is coming in. I think that's what we're struggling with and looking for your guidance, I guess.
The appearance of impropriety is the standard I'm talking about. The appearance of impropriety is part of the common law of conflicts. And then either you have, if there's no appearance analysis, the analysis is a per se conflict. In other words, it doesn't matter whether you disclose and whether you can be fair. It's automatic. You can't vote. And if you're on the control group and you're part of the review, it's automatic. It doesn't matter. The appearance issue arises if you have some connection, but it's not per se. And that's the appearance. And the way the appearance is dealt with is the way that I've described to you, which is it's done in the open. The membership is claimed, it's disclosed, and either the person recuses themselves or they don't. But if they do the analysis and say, I'm a member, but I can apply the standards, they not only shouldn't recuse themselves, they have a duty to participate. That's why they signed up.
Well, and
so that's my analysis.
That's why the Ethics Commission exists, because people can then say, I don't agree with your self-assessment of your conflict of interest. And then there's a review of it. So to be safe, people should tap out. I mean, I would tap out myself also, because I really do think, especially an issue like this that's controversial in the community. And just because you tap yourself out of one vote doesn't mean you're completely disenfranchised just on that particular issue.
Yeah, I just want to say there's another side to this. There are all sorts of controversial issues that people who are called upon to vote may not want to register a vote on, one way or the other, but they have a duty to vote. And so it's very clear that you need to analyze it in a straightforward way, and that if you search your heart and you can apply the standard, and this is whether you think the lights were a good idea or not. Members can go either way and probably do, ones who live close. But the point is, as a DRB member, having taken the oath, can you apply the standard? And if you're just a member, you're not barred. You are not barred. And I also think it's a mistake to then say, well, if you're not barred per se, we're going to judge whether you should have recused yourself after the fact because we don't like the way it looks. That's not the law. I mean, there are always going to be people who don't like the way something looks.
Wait a minute. Can you repeat what you just said?
I can try. So you need to be able to make, but for an ethics violation, I don't believe it's appropriate to judge someone's conduct if they didn't recuse themselves, unless they were per se barred from participating, because you think, well, I just don't think that's the way it should be, or this was a controversial decision, this was an important decision, or I would have recused myself because I would have known I couldn't apply the standard. It's just too big a deal. I don't think you should be doing that after the fact. Essentially, because you can't search those people's hearts.
And that's the advice you gave to the DRB members.
It is.
And that's the advice you gave to Elias about his participation.
I never actually gave Elias any advice myself.
Advice you gave to Matt, who then passed on to Elias.
Well, he passed on what I told Matt, but as Elias correctly pointed out, I was silent on the presenting aspect. And that is because I didn't think he was going to.
That is correct. Yes, the direction that was shared through the example that was sent out to all appointed officials, and then more specifically to the Development Review Board in anticipation of this, was really more about the Section 6 in terms of the conflict of interest. I did not share or opine or provide any advice, guidance one way or another in terms of the presenting piece for Mr. Yanaki. So that was never addressed one way or another directly in the context here. The direction that we just talked about in terms of the disclosing, that was provided to Development Review Boards as a whole, including the fact that anyone who served on the board of directors or the project lead would need to recuse themselves and disclose that, which that was the guidance. That was my priority in providing guidance to or sharing the guidance to Mr. Yanaki was on the recusal piece. The presenting piece was not addressed by me. Oral answer.
Do you have any more questions?
I don't have any more questions.
I don't either. At this time, can we move into private session or executive session?
Consider the evidence, yeah, as a quasi-judicial body.
So I move that we go into executive session at this time.
Yeah, in order to discuss evidence presented at a hearing by a quasi-judicial body.
Okay. Yes, I make that motion. All in favor?
We'll need to take a roll call vote on that.
Member DeGroff?
Aye.
Member DeLisuzzo?
I'd like to call the meeting back to open session.
Call the roll. All right.
Member DeGroff?
Present.
Member DeLisuzzo?
Present.
Okay. So based on our closed session, we have reached recommendations, which we will formalize in writing and have sent to the Village Board, which is the procedure under the ethics ordinance. I have prepared a summary here. Is there a motion to adopt our findings?
There's a make a motion to adopt our findings.
Second? All in favor?
Well, no, you can read it first.
Oh, okay. Our recommendations are as follows. Based on the village attorney's interpretation of the ethics code and related advice given to the DRB members, we dismiss the complaint as to Fishman, McCool, and Lucchese. As to the allegations regarding Mr. Yanaki, we believe presenting to the DRB on November 6, 2025 was inconsistent with Ethics Ordinance 123.5, subsection 6, subsection 9, which states, in keeping with their role as stewards of the public interest, village-covered individuals and contractors shall not appear on behalf of the private interests of third parties before any board or commission of the village on which they serve. And for the purposes of this subsection plan, commission, zoning board of appeals, and the development review board shall be considered as one commission. Notably, this prohibition does not prevent a village-covered individual or contractor from appearing on their own behalf before any board or commission of the village on which they serve. They just cannot, village-covered individuals cannot represent the private interests of third parties before any board or commission on which they serve. However, based on the full record in this case, including Mr. Yanaki's prior appearances before the DRB and his communications with village staff, we don't believe the complaint has been sustained. Going forward, we believe our community wants village-covered individuals to err on the side of caution and recuse themselves in the future in this type of situation. To the extent the ethics code is not clear, we want to explore whether such changes can be added legally, if at all, and if so, amend the code to provide such clarity.
And roll call vote. Member DeGroff?
Yes.
Member DeLisuzzo?
Yes.
Motion passes.
We'd also like to thank all the board members for your service. It is a thankless job, and it is especially challenging when people challenge your ethics. Like that's a really personal kind of challenge. And so we feel that and appreciate that. And we also really appreciate how much you volunteer for our community. Thank you for that.
Yeah, and likewise, again, we live in a small community, and whether it's a club, an organization, a school, a sports community, you're going to volunteer, and there's going to be these overlaps. And we recognize that, and we want to encourage that, not to discourage it. However, you know, this ethics code and this, and I think we strongly believe our community wants an ethics code. So we're not here. We don't want to be here tonight. And we didn't want to call out community members and have sleepless nights. That wasn't our purpose, but we feel an obligation. If our community comes to us, we want to have the facts. We want people to be able to speak, and we appreciate it. And this is just our findings, and we think we can make this better with some recommendations. So we appreciate your volunteer time, and we appreciate you guys coming tonight and all your time.
And we appreciate the need for more clarity. Yeah. I think that's one of the things we've learned through this process. And frankly, there haven't typically been very many ethics complaints. Kathy told me we would hardly ever meet, and we've been meeting a lot. I think some of it is good to help us refine our ethics code, and to make sure that it's as clear as possible and it represents the community's values.
Agreed.
All right.
Adjourn. Close to adjourn the meeting?
Next
on the agenda, if it's adjournment, that's what.
Next on the agenda is other business. Any other business?
None here.
None.
So I move to adjourn the meeting today.
Second.
In favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Meeting adjourned at 8:05 p.m.